All right, if you take your Bibles, I think it's the kind of lab, Brother Roy. If you take your Bibles and go with me to Luke chapter number 2, please. Luke chapter number 2. This is going to be kind of a different message. Hopefully you have a Bible. If you have a Bible, I want you to follow along with me tonight. We're going to read numerous passages of scriptures. And if you'll follow along, we're not going to try to take too big of a jump when we go to different books. But I'm going to show you, hopefully, something from the Word of God that I hope will be a blessing to you. And if I can get through all of this in time, we're going to end in a totally different way than normal. And so hopefully God will be in it tonight. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1 is the Christmas story. But I want to just read it to you tonight. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house in the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. In our world today, branding and logos are very important. Matter of fact, there is a large number of companies that you don't have to be told what companies they are. All you have to do is see their logo. We're going to give you a little test. Roy, the first one, please. How many people know who that represents? I mean, you don't have to know that it represents the largest computer and telephone maker in the world. The next one. Everybody knows who that is. Now, some of you ladies, y'all may not know these next two, but Roy, go ahead. John Deere. You don't have to be told. You just already know who it is. The next one. Caterpillar. And the next one? Boy, everybody knows that one, don't you? And the next one. Starbucks. And I think there's one more. You know, you don't have to be told what they are. You just see the symbol. And you know exactly what they represent. We know athletic teams by their great logos. This is one, hold up, brother. The first one you're going to all recognize. Woo! Anybody know who that is? Everybody know. Yeah, brother. Brother Brad does, because he's from Blue Cat. That is the Coleman Blue Cats. That's what I was, a Blue Cat. Man, I'm telling you what, I think there's only one Blue Cat mascot in all of the state of Texas, and it was Coleman. Well, since you don't know that one, you'll know this one, won't you? Slayton Tigers. Now, everybody's going to know this next one, but you're not going to want to know. boy, I tell you what, they're going downhill in a hurry, aren't they? And the next one. Texas Tech Red Raiders. But you know what? Not only are businesses known by logos, and not only athletic teams are known by logos, but kingdoms and nations many times are known by logos, and most of the time sometimes by a particular animal. We know that this is the logo or the animal that represents who? Our country. It is a mighty eagle. It is an eagle represents strength and power and agility and authority. Now this one, some of you will know and some of you may not know, but who is represented by the bear? Russia. And it's an animal that is strength. It's an animal of power. How about this next one? It's kind of a dragon. China. It's something that is powerful and dragon. Now, if you and I were going to have our own nation and we were going to find some animal or some kind of logo that would represent who we were, we would want to go and find something that was filled with strength and associated with power and associated with authority. But yet when God decided to choose an animal or a logo that would represent him and his kingdom, you know what he chose? He chose a lamb. A lamb is not known for power, is it? Man, a lamb is not known for its strength, but a lamb is known for its meekness and its gentleness and its kindness and its vulnerability. Here's what I want to do tonight. I want to take you from Genesis all the way through Revelations. And I want to show you over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Do you get the picture? And over where the Lamb represents Jesus Christ. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 3, please. Genesis chapter number 3, And I'm going to try to give time for you to get there because I just want you to see this. Because way back in Genesis chapter number 3, God makes a promise after Adam and Eve had partaken of the fruit and they had sinned. And God had kicked them out of the garden. In verse number 15, here is the promise that God makes. And he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the first prophecy in the Bible that there is one that is going to come that is going to deal a death blow to Satan. And I believe that it is going to be represented by the lamb. When you look over in verse number 21, in verse number 21, I believe we have the first mention of a lamb. It doesn't particularly say it, but I believe that this is what takes place. In verse number 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothing. I believe here, and you can disagree with me if you want to, but I believe that God killed a lamb and took the skins and clothed Adam and Eve with them. You look in chapter number 4. In chapter number 4, we know that this is the passage of Cain and Abel. And I want you to see verse number 2. The Bible says, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of what? Sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. Now, I know verse number 4 doesn't say a lamb, but Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and he brought a young or the firstling of his flock, which would be a lamb. And he killed that lamb. He offered that lamb to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, hey, that is acceptable sacrifice. I want you to go with me now to Genesis chapter number 22, please. Genesis chapter number 22, because this is a mention of the lamb. Now, in this passage, it's a chapter that all of us are familiar with. It's the passage where God asked Abraham to take his son Isaac up to the mount and to sacrifice him. And let's just read it in verse number 2. And he said, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood." But I want you to notice this last phrase. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" You see, I'd never really paid attention to that last phrase, but evidently they were already used to offering lambs to the Lord. They were used to sacrificing, because Isaac didn't say, "Where is the animal?" Isaac said, "Hey, we are going to offer to God, but where is the lamb?" Notice what verse number 8 says, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.' So they went both of them together." And you know the story, that Abraham followed the Lord and he got ready to take the knife and to plunge it into his son. And God said, "Wait a minute, there is a ram that is caught in the thickling." But the important part is God said, "I'll provide myself a lamb." I want you to go with me now to Genesis chapter number 32, I believe it is. Genesis, actually, we're going to Exodus now. Exodus chapter number 12. In Exodus chapter number 12, we know that this is the beginning of the 10th plague. God has brought hail. He has turned the waters into blood. He has done all of these plagues in order for the Pharaoh to release his people. And now this is going to be the 10th plague. And chapter 11 and verse number 5, the plague is this, that all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of the beast. So what God is saying here is the plague, that everyone that is firstborn is going to die when the death angel passes over. And when you read chapter 12 in verse number 3, here is what the Bible says. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of his souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." I won't take time to read the rest of those verses, but you know they were to take a lamb, they were to kill that lamb, and they were to take the blood, and they were to put it on the doorpost. And when the death angel came into the camp, when he saw the blood, he would pass over that house. But here is the lesson, is that lamb is a representation of Jesus Christ. And with his shed blood, and when the blood is applied, the death angel will pass. And when you and I have the blood, the blood of the lamb, the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ, when we have it applied to our life, I want you to know we'll never experience the second death. When you go to Exodus chapter number 29 now. Exodus chapter number 29. In chapter number 25, keep going to 29, but in chapter number 25, God starts talking about the tabernacle and all of the things that are to be involved in the tabernacle, the altar and the Ark of the Covenant and all of those things that are involved. And when you get to chapter number 29, he is now going to talk about sacrifices that must be performed in the tabernacle. Notice what he says in verse number 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. And with one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and of the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and thou shalt do thereunto according to the meat of offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto you. So here's what he's establishing. Morning and evening, there was to be a lamb offered. It was to cover their sins. This offering was not to wipe away their sins, but it was a covering of their sins. It was a representation that one day Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is going to come and he is going to take away their sins. So morning and evening, they were offering a lamb, and it was pointing to Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter number 53. Now, this is a passage that you are familiar with. Isaiah chapter number 53. We know in this passage that Isaiah is talking about the Messiah. He's talking about Jesus Christ that is going to come, that is going to go to the cross. In verse number 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one unto his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Here in this passage, when Isaiah was prophesying about Christ going to the cross and all of the things that he would have to go through on the cross, he said he's going to be just like a lamb. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2 is the passage that we just read, and I want to point out several things to you from this passage that I just don't think are an accident. I just don't think that they came about accidentally, but I believe that God allowed all of these things exactly as he allowed them, because he was showing the world, here is the Lamb. The first thing that I want to point out to you is that in verse number 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." What is the chances that on that very day that they are in Bethlehem, she's going to give birth? I remember when our first daughter was born. She was supposed to be born on a certain day, and she was born 2 weeks early. I can remember our last one come along. They gave us the date, and she was born about 3 weeks late. What are the chances that Mary and Joseph ended up in Bethlehem, the exact place that in the Old Testament they prophesied that on that exact day she was going to give birth? The Bible says in verse number 7 that she brought her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. What are the chances that Joseph didn't make the right preparations, and he ended up in Bethlehem, and there was no place for them to stay, and they ended up in a manger? I had three daughters. I was prepared for what was going to take place. I made preparations. We were ready. We were prepared for the birth. I don't think it's just happen chance that Joseph decided that he knew that they were going to have to go to Bethlehem. I don't think he just left it to chance. But I do think that God was orchestrating it, that whatever plans that he had made, he may have made reservations at the inn. I don't know. But I do know that when he showed up, the innkeeper said, hey, there is no room that is in the inn, but here is what I have. I have a stable that is out back, and you and your wife can stay in that stable. The Bible says that she gave birth. And when she gave birth, the Bible says that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. What are the chances that she would do that? You look in the text in verse number 8. The Bible says that in that same country there were shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Why would God go to shepherds to announce his birth? Hey, man, if when we have a child, we want all the dignitaries to know, hey, we've got a child. Hey, if we're going to announce the birth of somebody that is important, we want to let all the important people know, well, hey, why didn't he go to the religious crowd? Why didn't he go to the religious scholars and say, hey, go and check out Jesus in the manger? But he didn't do it. The Bible says that he went to shepherds in the field. Many people believe that these were not just ordinary shepherds, but these were Levitical shepherds. They were raising lambs that was going to be without spot and without blemish, and they were going to be used for sacrificial lambs on the Passover. They would understand all of the things about it. I was reading this week, and one guy said this. One of the things that was really important was is that because they were raising sacrificial lambs, is that when they were born, they would inspect those lambs. They would make sure that there was no spots. They would make sure that there was no blemishes. And those that were without spot and without blemish, here's what they would do. They would take swaddling clothes and wrap them up and set them aside. So now when they go to the manger, and they see the Lamb, they see Jesus Christ wrapped in swaddling clothes, there must have been something happened in their mind. Hey, this is the Lamb that's been prophesied in the Old Testament. I could go on from this text, but I'm telling you, there is no accident with God. All of this happened because God wanted to point to the fact is, here's the Lamb. He's in a manger because here is the Lamb. He appeared to shepherds because he wanted to say, here is the Lamb. When you read the latter parts of the gospel, you see the very thing that Isaiah prophesied. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has come to take away the sins of the world. I want you to go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Because I want to show you what Peter says about our salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. 1 Peter. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter says, you know what? We were redeemed not by money, but we were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Now here's the exciting part. Revelation chapter number 5. When you come to Revelation, Jesus is in heaven. And we know in this particular passage, it is a heavenly scene. The Bible tells us in verse number 1 that they bring out a book. It is the seven sealed book. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, and the root of David hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it hath been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book, and out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Verse number 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" Chapter 6 and verse number 1. "And I saw the Lamb open the seals. And I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" You see, the Lamb that he's talking about there is Jesus Christ. But you know what? That's not all. You go over to Revelation chapter number 13 and just write quickly a verse. It's where we get the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 13 and verse number 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." You go to chapter number 17. In chapter number 17, he is fixing to judge the religious Babylon, the great whore of the old tribulation. Verse number 5, "And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of nations." And then the Bible says, according to verse number 14, that "these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." In chapter number 19, in verse number 7, it talks about a supper, a marriage that is going to take place. Verse number 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God." I believe that you and I are going to be the guests at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those that are saved. I believe we're going to be united with Christ. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then you look in verse number 11 of Revelation 19. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he does judge and make war." It doesn't say in those verses about the Lamb. He doesn't call him the Lamb, but he's talking about the Lamb. The Lamb is going to come. Jesus Christ is going to come. He is coming. He is faithful and true. You look over to Revelation chapter number 20. We know the millennial reign of Christ has taken place. The second coming has taken place. Satan has been cast into the lake of fire. And verse number 11 is going to be the great white throne judgment. And verse number 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne in him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life," or as we know it from Revelation 13 and verse number 8, it is the Lamb's book of life. "And though and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." In Revelation chapter number 21, he describes heaven, and I want to point out several things from this chapter. Verse number 14. "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." You read in verse number 22. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." How about verse number 23? "And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." Chapter 22 in verse number 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." And the last one. Verse number 3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." If we were going to create a logo for the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you saw it, you would automatically recognize, hey, that's the Lamb of God. That's Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible depicts him as a lamb. And so when we see the manger, and we see the shepherds, and we see all of those gathered around in the nativity, it is pointing to the fact that God prophesied a long time ago, there's coming a lamb. And right there, he is. I'm going to close tonight in a different way. I want to play a song for you. It's one of the most beautiful voices that God ever created. Many of you will recognize it, but it is a great song. And it's just called, "We Shall Behold Him." Play it, Brother Roy.
The sky shall unfold. Preparing his entrance, the stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. In his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall. Behold. Yes, we shall be.
Thankful for your word. You made it clear when you came to this old world. You told us over and over. Lambs were sacrificed over and over, pointing to the cross. And Lord, one of these days you're coming back as a lamb, but it'll not be meek, but you'll be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, tonight I cannot wait until I have the opportunity to stand before you and just see you and just be in your presence. And just feel those nails. Just experiencing what it is like. God, tonight I pray that as we go into this Christmas season, that it'll be all about Jesus and beholding our Lord and Savior. God, we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us tonight? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. Maybe God's spoken to you tonight. You come.